Is your website pretty?
Mind your business.
Does it work right?
Mind your business.
Can people find it?
You got what I need.
Mind your business.
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to this week's Mind Your Business podcast presented by the Minds at Mind Development Design and you. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you for following us on Pinterest. And of course, as always, thanks to Whiff Roasters in Lititz, Pennsylvania for fresh grinding such great coffee, including my favorite coffee and chicory blend, which I'm drinking now and I drink every week when we do the podcast. Well, it's been a while since we've had our social media swami, Chris Bradley, on the show, and we finally have him back to take a step back and give you a nice 30,000-foot view of social media and break the five major platforms down for you so you understand their value to your business and have a better idea of what the heck you should be doing with them. Chris, welcome back. It's always good to hear from you on the podcast.
Hey, good morning, Mark. I'm loving it. I'm sitting here chomping on a seedless watermelon. We're lucky we live in Lancaster County. We got tons and tons of produce in the summer. I love that.
I love it as well, man.
Hey, I know you're a big fan of AC/DC, so before we get started, I wanted to mention that, I don't know if you know it, but on this day in 1980, AC/DC released Back in Black, and it was their first album with Brian Johnson.
Yeah.
As the lead singer, yep.
A lot of people don't know it, too, but Brian Johnson was actually, or I can't really say he was handpicked by Bon Scott, but Bon Scott, the original lead singer of AC/DC, had told the other band members about this guy that he had heard in a pub singing with a band called Geordie, and he just loved the guy's voice, and it was indeed Brian Johnson. So
there
was kind of a connection there. But
yeah.
What a great album, man.
That is awesome. Yeah, I thought today it would be a good idea to help our listeners understand, you know, the state of social media by, like you said, take a 30,000-foot view of the social landscape.
I stole your verbiage there, man. I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, no. That's fine. I definitely want to take a look at how social exists today, you know, in July 2015. As with everything in internet marketing, social media is in a constant state of change. And there are a couple things that are important to marketers and that business world should be paying attention to and be aware of. And a couple that I'll touch on today are the rise of social media becoming more of a publishing platform and something we've talked about on here before, the continuing growth and importance of social media advertising. Just a couple things I want to be able to touch on today. So let's drill down and talk a little bit about each of the five major platforms, starting with Instagram and Pinterest. Both Instagram and Pinterest are rolling out big features that many marketers, including myself, are agreeing will take them from being the second-tier social network to being on the same level with Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. You know, for a while there, Instagram and Pinterest were the guests at the party, you know, the ones that sat in the back of the room. But now they're starting to be the stars.
You know, you mentioned that my 17-year-old son, I've gotten a real education from him. I think most of us adults get education from our kids watching them and how they use technology, because they're growing up with technology where, you know, your generation and my generation, you know, we're kind of the tween generation where we didn't necessarily grow up with technology like this in our elementary and high school years, but, you know, it became part of our lives during that time.
Yes.
Now our kids are growing up with it. They have their hands on it from the times they're little. And Instagram really bothered me because of, you know, how my son was like glued to it. But yet our own Chad McComsey, lead designer at Mind, has been a big Instagram fan. And I've seen the value in it from the way he's used it and then seeing other businesses use it. But man alive, I did not understand it at first.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. It's actually my favorite social network as well. I use it quite a bit. And I agree with you. It's becoming, you know, Instagram is becoming the, I could foresee it in the next couple of years being the number one social platform, because that younger generation, it's their go-to, which I'll get to in a little bit. But yeah, that's a very good point.
Very mobile friendly.
Yeah, it is very mobile friendly, and I think that is all that it is. I mean, you could pull it up on a desktop and like images, but you cannot post anything other than on a mobile device. So two of the things that are making noise right now are the Instagram's carousel ads and the Pinterest buy it buttons. We've talked in more detail about both on this podcast, and I'll share some links in the show notes to both those podcasts so you can get, if you want to get a little deeper and granular about it, we can. But if your audience is on either of these platforms, I highly recommend that you look into both of these options. Being able to show multiple images and get a link from Instagram is going to be very popular. And with Pinterest, allowing people to purchase products straight from the pins, you know, I definitely don't see that flopping like Elo did.
Truly.
Yeah, Instagram continues to be a major player among the younger generation, as we mentioned a minute ago, and businesses have to be paying attention to it and stop ignoring it because they can't figure out how to use it. To help our, just real quick, want to help our listeners wrap their heads around Instagram and even Pinterest for that matter. Let me share an example. In downtown Lancaster, there is a barber shop that I go to that I frequent. I've been going there over a year now. They're called the Black Comb Barbers. They do, they're very, very good at what they do, and they also do a retro style haircut. I don't know, some people label it hipster, whatever you want to label it. But they are really good at what they do. So anyway, they started using Instagram over a year ago, and what they found was extreme success from being able to show images of the haircuts on Instagram. Literally, they told me that they got people from Reading, Philadelphia, the Baltimore area, driving, you know, up to an hour or an hour and a half away just to come in and be a customer. So,
well, you said yourself though that it's that part of it's because it's not just getting your hair cut, it's the experience.
The experience, exactly. And they're able to, so in other words, the customer experience is able to be really, if you're a visual business like a barber, you can really reflect that customer service, that customer experience in the Instagram photos that you take, especially if you're really conscious of what your goals are through the medium.
Yeah, I mean, you can really draw people into your business. And I mean, the old cliche, and it's 100% true, is a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Exactly. And again, their haircuts, if you look at their Instagram account, there is a lot of different styles. So it's not like they're posting the same thing over and over. They have 4 barbers. They all have their own different style. Everybody that comes in there wants something a little bit different from the next guy. And again, being able, for a small barbershop, to be able to pull people from Philadelphia and Baltimore, it's unheard of. And they'll tell you, if you walk in and ask them, if it wasn't for their Instagram account, that wouldn't have happened. I mean, they're to the point right now where I have to book 4 weeks out. That's how booked up they are. Like, I have to schedule on their website at least up to 4 weeks out, or I won't get in.
And, of course, it's important that you can schedule on their website.
That is important. So, yeah, so that's a quick view of Instagram, Pinterest. Let's move ahead to Facebook. There's a lot happening at Facebook. I think we're seeing their growth as a company more this year than in any previous year. They're rolling out new custom audience and conversion pixels for their website custom audience ads, which I'll definitely touch on in a future podcast episode. But basically what pixel codes, you can add these to your website, and then they can be used to retarget visitors to your website with ads on Facebook. So, as marketers, we can retarget somebody that came to a certain service or product page. Just for instance, let's say somebody's selling different books, different categories of books on their website, and somebody comes to your site looking to buy books. They don't buy, but we can actually retarget them on Facebook with ads that are specific to the different categories of books that they actually looked at on your website. So basically, we're just retargeting them on Facebook. So that's a really cool feature.
Yeah.
lead ads are really something that everybody's going to want to pay attention to as they roll them out in the next couple months. Lead ads, basically what they are is they allow you as a marketer and as a business to provide an easier way for someone to opt into, let's say, an email campaign, literally using the Facebook information that you provide to Facebook. You can, I think it's like three clicks. You could click on the ad, add your information, which automatically populates from your Facebook account, and then confirm it and be signed up for an email subscription without literally it's three clicks of a button, and it can be done from a mobile device. So where this benefits businesses is, you know, we have to create a landing page, and we have to make sure that landing page subscribes them to their MailChimp account or whatever email service provider you're using. Then we have to add the fields, so when someone comes in, they actually have to fill it out. They actually have to give their information. They have to hit submit. These are all these are barriers, in my opinion. A lot of people don't want to go through that whole process. So with lead ads, basically what you're doing is you're taking all of that, those complications out of it, and somebody literally can subscribe with three clicks of a button on their, and they don't leave Facebook. And you guess what? Ta-da, you have an email. A new email subscriber that you can target with future email campaigns. So I really like what lead ads are doing. I think maybe the next podcast, Mark, I'd like to touch on lead ads and the website custom audiences, because I think they're really both important for small and mid-sized businesses.
Sounds like you just gave a teaser.
I did. I did. Lastly, about Facebook, yeah, we hear a lot about, you know, teens and millennials are not using Facebook anymore. I hear it all the time. And I often look at them and ask, you know, what's your source? But to that comment, I have to give a big Bill Lumberg yeah about that. Because honestly, it's not true. Niche, a school ranking and review site, polled more than 10,000 college-bound high school graduates to find which apps they use the most, which social platforms they use the most. And guess what? The top social media platform in 2015 for these high school graduates is Facebook. They're actually tied with Instagram. 61% of the survey respondents saying that they use Facebook and Instagram daily. So I thought that's important to touch on, because I fear that some small and mid-sized businesses are, you know, somebody's telling them that, well, my son's not on Facebook because he's younger and he doesn't want to be on there. And so they're ignoring Facebook as a possible, social network for their business. And please be careful doing that. That could be dangerous, because Facebook obviously has the most amount of users. And it seems like the younger audience, even though they may say they don't want to be on Facebook, they're still using it.
Well, and two, Facebook is more comprehensive than other social media platforms, and so really to compare it with Instagram, it's interesting because the two can be integrated, where you can, you know, you can post pictures to both, but Instagram is more limited in what you can do than Facebook. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, because Facebook really is more comprehensive and it covers more aspects of your life, keeping the different photo albums up there, and you're running feed from people that you're friends with and your own posts up there. They don't have to be pictures. You can post a comment or what have you, but with Instagram, it's more about pictures. But
sure.
The two can be integrated. Mm-hmm. But they kind of serve different purposes.
Yeah, and don't forget, too, that Facebook owns Instagram. So,
this is true.
all the resources that Facebook has, now Instagram has. And I know as Instagram continues to roll out more advertising options, they're literally using the same targeting data that Facebook has. So you're going to be able to get really granular with that. But yeah, that's a good point, Mark. I mean, each of the two has their own specific, you know, features that people like and that appeal to one another. You know, I know a lot of people who post a picture to Instagram and then they share it on Facebook. And then when they share it on Facebook, they end up getting more engagement from that photo from their friends who may not be following them or may not be using Instagram. So,
yep.
Moving ahead, LinkedIn. I mentioned how, you know, some social networks are becoming more and more publishing platform, and LinkedIn was early to the game on this one. Their publish a post feature is growing in popularity and truly is a great way to reach your audience. Basically, professionals who has a LinkedIn account can now publish content, and then everybody who is connected to you on LinkedIn is alerted that you have published that content. For me, I average at least 5 posts read from my connections a week. I think this is powerful because when you post to a blog, unless you spend a lot of time promoting that post to multiple social media accounts and maybe even send an email letting your subscribers know that it's there, it could be missed. Yeah. And with LinkedIn, they could help you promote the post, and all you have to do is write and post and add an image. I expect this to continue to be popular. I guess the question is, you know, will there eventually be so many people posting that there is a saturation point and it starts being ignored? I don't know. Mark, I know you've been using it to share a podcast, and I know you're seeing success from it. We've seen more downloads and subscribers to the podcast since you started sharing on your personal profile. So do you have anything to add about
First thing I want to add is since I've been working with you, I've gotten more active on LinkedIn because I admittedly was not spending the time on LinkedIn. Really, I wasn't spending the time on social media that I had in years past. And I was reminded of just how important LinkedIn and social media in general, but particularly LinkedIn, because when I got active on it again and started sharing the podcast, you know, I had enough people that were following me and that I was following that, you know, we've seen an impact from it, and, you know, I can only slap myself for not doing it sooner. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, for the sake of transparency on this podcast, I had kind of ignored my LinkedIn account and forgotten just what a great platform it is. Especially, I mean, if you're a business-to-business, LinkedIn is just vital.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a great platform. And the publish a post, again, like I said, I'm reading posts from people who otherwise, if they had a blog, I wouldn't even know about. I wouldn't even know that they're publishing content. So I think for that reason alone, it's huge. And you know, publishing posts and publishing content wherever, you know, being able to publish it in multiple areas is awesome. Like, so in other words, maybe 5 years ago, you create a blog and you posted your content on the blog and that was your only option. But today in 2015, and one of the reasons I wanted to mention this is, you know, that doesn't have to be your only option anymore. I still think it's important that you have a centralized blog, especially if you're a business, so that people can go and learn more about your business after they read your blog. But again, for us with the podcast, it's a great way for us to get more people aware of the podcast through our LinkedIn. And I think I'd like to start posting them to my LinkedIn account, my personal LinkedIn account too, because then that's two people that are sharing it. And if you're a business out there and you're creating content, this is something to think about. This is a way you can rally your employees to help you with the content. Cool. Well, Twitter. So there's been a shakeup at Twitter. They recently let go of their CEO, and they're currently working on some new features, most of which haven't been shared by the big brass, but there have been some early rumors of some of the features. Twitter continues to be increasingly popular as a media platform for news, sports, and celebrities. I mean, if you watch ESPN, you'll know that Twitter has become a part of their media platform.
Well, they report on Twitter, you know, awesome. Twitter posts
all the time,
all across sports.
Yes, so I see the importance there. They recently added Periscope, which has been extremely popular early on. Periscope describes the app on their website as a better way to experience a place in real time through live video. But live feeds via the web for business still take quite a bit of planning and professional quality production value.
Oh, indeed.
You know, and that takes time and money. So I have no idea how Periscope plays out over the next 5 years. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. In summary, I feel kind of weird about Twitter right now, to tell you the truth. I've been using it since 2009, and it's been easily one of my favorite social platforms for the last several years. And while I do see its importance both professionally and personally for me, I guess the fact that they've been so slow to adapt and roll out new features, you know, makes me a bit weary about what their future holds. You know, I don't think that it will ever go away. I mean, Twitter is ingrained in our culture today.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but I'm not sure it will always be what it's been for the last several years, especially for businesses. And just to add, if anybody out there uses Twitter for their business, you know what a resource hog it is. I mean, it takes so much time to use Twitter for your business that you literally should have somebody on it, you know, throughout the day. So having a social media manager or having a company who monitors your Twitter is really important. It takes quite a bit of time. So we'll have to wait and see where Twitter goes. I still love it as a platform, but you know, it is kind of like in a state of flux right now. So I'm anxious to see where it goes over the next year and how that affects businesses, especially small and mid-sized ones. Lastly, Mark, I just wanted to touch on the social media advertising. I know we've talked about it on here before, but just real quick, in case you didn't hear that episode of the podcast, social media advertising is a way to help you reach your marketing goals faster and more efficiently. And you can do this by helping you generate leads, increase visibility and awareness of your brand, and nurture prospects. You could create campaigns and target many different ways. I just broke down a quick summary of some of the different targeting you can do with social ads. You can get more visitors to your website and get more website conversions. You can increase the engagement with posts and tweets. You can get more likes and follows. If you have an app, you can advertise the app in hopes of getting more installs and engagement on the app. You can offer claims, like if you're having a big blowout 50% furniture sale, you could create an ad on social media that promotes that sale. You could increase local awareness. You could promote events. If you have a big event that you spent, $20,000 on that's coming up in 6 months, I highly recommend promoting that event via the social platforms.
Indeed.
And you could obtain more video views. That's just a couple that I thought of. The fact of the matter is that social advertising, it's not just for large national and global brands with unlimited budgets. There are a lot of success stories for small businesses using social advertising effectively. Just make sure that you have clearly defined goals and you are working with somebody that thoroughly understands each of the different social advertising platforms. Just like a couple years ago when New York Times came out and really roughed up Google for their AdWords. Google had said that AdWords was an easy five-step process that anybody could do, and then everybody was going in and they
famous last words.
Exactly. And all these businesses were going in there and setting up these AdWord campaigns, and next thing you know, they were losing just tons of marketing dollars because nothing was done correctly. Same thing can happen with social media advertising. Don't think that it's so easy that you don't need a specialist to help you with it. And if you are like really insistent on doing it yourself, there's plenty of resources out there that will help you understand it. In the show notes this week, I'll share a really cool resource from the Twitter Counter blog that's definitely worth checking out, especially if you're just getting into the social media advertising space and you need a little direction and understanding of what targeting is available in each network. I'll put that in the show notes so everybody can check it out. So that's kind of my 30,000-foot view of social media as it exists today. There's a lot more I could have gotten into, but I didn't want to overcomplicate it. As you can see, each of the social networks has a lot going on. Even Twitter does. It's just kind of behind the scenes. And again, 5 years ago, I remember reading one out of every five articles was social media is going to, it's not going to be what everybody's saying.
Oh, yeah.
Social media is going to die. Social media is never going to be an effective way for a business to market and advertise. And all those predictions are wrong. And again, we're in 2015, and you could see just by some of the things I reviewed today, it continues to grow and it continues to become more important. If you're ignoring it, I'd recommend paying closer attention to it. But my guess is if you're listening to this and the title alone kind of speaks volumes for it, you're not ignoring it. You might be just a little confused with how to use it. And again, sometimes it just requires you having a specialist to help you understand it and sit down and come up with a social media marketing plan and some goals, clearly defined goals, and you can be on a path to success over, you know, and don't think about it as a short-term investment. Think about it as a long-term investment.
Chris, as always, thank you very much for taking the time to come on to the podcast and share the information. Already looking forward to the next time you'll be on here.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to it, too. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And thanks, all of you, for listening to this Mind Your Business podcast presented by Mind Development Design and the Internet, making everything you never wanted to know about people you know available with the click of a button via Facebook. We all hope you found this information helpful and empowering for you to improve and get more out of your online presence. Thank you for listening on iTunes and Stitcher and for the interest on Pinterest. Don't forget to send us your questions through Facebook, comment on our podcast page, email us at info@minddnd.com, or just click that blissfully aware ask a question button on the right side of our podcast page. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.